In biblical terms, we are going to study Bible prophecy in this camp. The events of prophetic future. The theological term is eschatology, from the Greek word eschatos, which means last things. The study of last things. Why is Bible prophecy so important? Because it tells us where the world is heading, and it prepares us now for the future world. As I have written in our camp forward, the Christian's blessed hope is a most practical truth in the Bible for the development of Christian service and character. Our blessed hope is a higher calling, a nobler motivation for action, for Christian living. When we understand that the Lord is coming again, it would change the way we approach the Lord's Day when we come for worship on a Sunday, because it could be that last Sunday that we are here upon earth. And it would also impact the way we live our lives. We would not want to be tainted with the lust and the sin that drag us down, that cause us to suffer. But we want to live a life of holiness. And then the blessed hope is also an impetus for Christian duty. Because the Lord is coming again. He is going to come in His second coming as a judge. What do you mean by Jesus coming as a judge? It means that all who do not know Him would suffer a judgment to come. Very serious. And therefore we have a duty as a people of God who knows what is going to come in the future to warn the people around us so that they may be forewarned of the danger and that they may escape. Christian ministry, that we may devote our lives to the service of God, because we have understood the value of serving the people of God. And then it also gives to us Christian endurance, you know, to live a life walking with God against the tide of this world requires some tenacity. There must be some backbone in each one of us. And so Christian endurance. And then Christian consolation. If you want to walk with God, if you want to live a holy life, you'll be assured that the world, the evil one, Satan himself, will not leave you alone. And as he comes and tempt you, the trials and the temptations can be so sore during those time of testing that, you know, you would need comfort and strength. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is such a powerful motive for Christian living and service. And that's why we have devoted an entire camp to study and understand concerning what the future is going to be. And the key thought that we want us to understand is the imminence of Christ's coming. He can come anytime. It is nearer than you think. And He will come as judge. Jesus came as Savior in His first coming. But in this second coming, all who do not know Him will face the reality of his wrath, as we shall study, the true church will escape this coming judgment. And we want us to understand that this judgment will come swiftly and will come soon, and we need to be prepared. And I believe that God raised up Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church for such a time as this, to be an end-time noetic church, for us to preach of the coming judgment. Noah preached for more than 100 years without seeing rain. And he preached concerning a coming flood that would wash the entire world away when there was no rain on planet Earth during those times. It seems so impossible to imagine that a flood of that magnitude would come, but it did come. And you know, it is no accident also that our church is located in a building in the shape of Noah's Ark. If you would take a look closely at the construction of this church, you would find that it is special. I cannot identify a second building in Singapore or in the world that is built in a shape like this, like the ark. It is a reminder to us that when God judged the world the first time, the only people who escaped are those who believed in Noah's prophecy that judgment is coming, and they escaped the flood. If you look at the Salvation Army building, right at the front there is a cross, and you would see that the cross, in the cross, in Jesus Christ, is the only solution to escape the judgment to come. The Bible tells us that this coming judgment will be by fire. In a flood, you can escape by a boat. But by fire, when it would consume the whole earth, the only way out is up. God would come. Christ would come to take his true church away, and the world would be burned up. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 16 verse 20 that every island would be fled away. That includes Singapore. You know, we have been touted as a nation that has not experienced any earthquake, when all the world around us has experienced some form of disaster as a result of the earth moving, devastating buildings, devastating homes. Well, we think that in Singapore this would not happen, but the Bible tells us that a day is coming when every island would be fled away. So this includes Singapore. We are not going to escape this judgment. And the only safety is in Jesus Christ. And so what is the message for us? It is that we must repent. We must believe. And this includes giving our heart to Jesus Christ. Give Christ your heart is the call of this camp. The lighted cross at the Salvation Army is very interesting. It signifies that there is only one escape from this coming judgment by fire. If you know Jesus Christ, then He would bring you away and take you to heaven. And this is a very serious matter, you know. Because during the time of Noah, nobody believed. Everybody mocked. Business is as usual until the flood came. And we want us to know that God has an eternal redemption plan that is conceived before the foundation of the world. This plan was announced in the Garden of Eden after man's fall. And throughout the Old Testament, we see foreshadowing of it. And in the fullness of time, 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ came. God has only one plan of salvation against sin and death. And that's why in Titus it is written, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men." This salvation grace, this favor that God brings to us, we must not take lightly. But we must believe that only Jesus saves, and that we must believe by simple faith, and we would be gloriously saved. And when we are saved, this is the most critical thing that can happen to you in your life. What do you do after you become a Christian, after you are born again? Well, we are to engage ourselves in worship, in thanksgiving to God for saving us. That's why you see, you know, outside the building of the Salvation Army, there is the verse 100, Psalm 104. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Our second reading in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 tells us that if you have understood the truth concerning the Lord's coming again, then you would hold fast to that faith and you will not waver. You would be preparing yourself every Lord's day to be assembled with the people of God to worship Him, to thank Him for what He has done for us. We ought to be a people of hope because we have been gloriously saved by God's only plan of redemption in Jesus Christ. And because we know Jesus, Christians ought to be the happiest, the most joyful, the most positive, the most optimistic, the most encouraged, the most forward-looking, the most creative, the most dynamic, the most hope-filled people on the face of the earth. As I saw, and I think about how the Lord led us to name our church the Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church, the Lord wants us to be a people of hope because we believe in the promises of God in the Scriptures. And, you know, we should put a banner outside the Salvation Army, as one pastor put it. If you are looking for hope, we have got plenty to spare. Are we such a people? God wants us to know for sure what our future is going to be. And then He wants us to bring that hope to a dying world. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give always an answer to every man that would ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We cannot place our hope in this world because it seemed to be spinning out of control. We cannot hope in politics. We find that we cannot hope in the things in this world, the entertainment industry, the media. We can't place our hope in our own achievements. When you look at successful men, you realize that their achievement fades as they fade away. And so what hope is there if you look at this world? Well, the Bible points us to where we can find hope. That is in our Lord Himself. May we say like the psalmist, "My hope is in Thee, Lord." Psalm 39 verse 7. That we must be a people with a hope that is strongly grounded in the promises of Scripture. Because we know what the future is going to be, and we are preparing ourselves for that future to come. We are ordering our lives in that way. If you realize that we are living in the last days, the last hour of human history, then the best thing to do is to lift our eyes to heaven and say, "My hope is in the Lord." To give your life to Jesus for His use. It is one decision that you make that you will never regret. I have used 8 R's to help us navigate through our study of the future events. Tonight, redemption, salvation. It all begins there. If you are born again, then you are a part of this glorious plan of God. There is a glorious eternal future awaiting for you. We are a people of hope. We cannot but be a people of hope because of what God has promised us, because of what God is giving to us, has given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. All the riches of His glory in Jesus Christ. Can we fully fathom and understand? Have we fully grasped the hope that God has given to us in Him? Tomorrow, we shall speak concerning the recurrence, the signs of the times. What is the prophetic clock? Where is it now? And then the rapture. A glorious event is coming. That Titus mentioned concerning that blessed hope. The rapture of the church. Christ is going to come to take His church away. Are you prepared? Do you know if the Lord would take you at a time when He comes? And then we are going to speak tomorrow night about reward. The true riches. If the Lord is coming again, and He's going to bring His reward with Him, then how can we prepare ourselves to have true riches? The Lord said that we are going to inherit His kingdom. He's going to give to us true riches. How can we prepare ourselves to receive it? And then message 5, the return of the Lord. History's final war. When the Lord returns, He is going to establish himself as the king of this world. He would rule this world, and we would reign with him for 1,000 years. This is the millennium. You know, human history has been a sequence of events whereby God put man to rule, and how man has failed so miserably to rule. But Christ himself will come and show us what is it, how is it we rule. And he's going to rule with his attributes, with his character. And today he's bringing us through trials and tribulations in order to build our character. Because one day we are going to rule with Christ, and we're going to have to rule with his character, not our own fallen self. And that's why he's molding, he's making us through all these testings. And then message 7, to reign in an eternity to come. When we would inherit the kingdom, he would give to us the true riches. And finally, on Saturday, the call to resolve and action. 3 thoughts from our text from Titus 2, 11 to 14. Past, present, and future. The Lord wants us to think as we come to this camp concerning the past, what he has done for us. And the present, what are we doing with our lives? And the future, what God is going to do for us in the light of what we are doing now. And that is what Titus 2, 11 to 14 is teaching us. The Lord wants us to understand that he has placed us in his eternal redemption plan. And how did he place us in that eternal redemption plan? Well, verse 11 tells us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation came into our lives. The favor of God, when God intervened in each one of our lives, in very different ways, in different times, when God sends someone to show us the better way, the way of eternal life, to solve life's problems when we were groping in the dark, someone came into our lives and showed to us that Jesus Christ is the way. And then when we know that way, how our life changed. How we forsake our past life. And that's what the Lord wants us to think about as we come for camp. How God had saved us. Perhaps it was by a sickness. Perhaps it was by a failed relationship. Perhaps it was by an event that caused us to realize our sinfulness, how we cannot order our lives. Verse 14 tells us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to us. And we were redeemed, verse 14 says, from all iniquity. The word iniquity there means a bending, a crookedness in our lives. You know, there are 3 words in the Bible that describe sin. Sin itself, and transgression. Transgression is a rebellion against the law. Sin itself is against the law of God. But iniquity is the word that describes an outworking of sin in our lives. in crooked living. And so when the grace of God appeared through Jesus Christ, the Lord showed to us where we have sinned against Him. And that in Him, in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, we can be saved. We can be cleansed. And so at that point in time, we confess our sins and we accept by faith what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And He says here in verse 14 that He made us a peculiar people. That word there means we are a treasured people. That we are precious in the sight of God. We are a people that is very much treasured, chosen, beloved in the sight of God. And you know, we are the apple of His eye. And so the Lord wants us to understand the past, right? What God has done in our lives, how the grace of God appeared to all men. The gospel was preached to all, and yet, you know, not all were saved. How God opened our spiritual eyes that we could understand that Jesus Christ is God. It's not no rocket science, you know, but it's the blessed work of the Holy Spirit that helps us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is a living and true God. And from that point in time in our lives, we were born again. Our life is changed forever. Because a man who is divinely born again is no longer under the dominion of sin and Satan. We have the power to say no to sin. We have the power to overcome sin. And that's why in verse 12 he says that, you know, we live our present life differently. We deny ungodliness. What do you mean by the word to deny? This word carries with it a purposeful resolve in the heart to say no to sin. You know, like what Solomon said to his son, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." We have that power, that strength in us through the Holy Spirit to say no to sin. And, you know, we are able to deny ungodliness. What is that? Well, we are able to deny the things that is against God. We understand that we are created wonderfully by God in 6 days. I give you an example. Anger. In the world that we live in now, violence and the inability to control anger has caused so much chaos in families. It began in the first family between the two brothers, Cain and Abel, right? Cain killed Abel because he was angry with his brother. He could not restrain that hatred that was in him. The Bible says that it was a boiling hatred. Well, for us who are born again, God gives us that power to say no to sin, to control that anger. We would not be hasty in the spirit to be angry. But the Bible says, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. We don't live as a fool, but we live as wise. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9. And that God gives us that power to be slow in anger. Help us to have the power to rule our spirit. He gives us His word to tell us that, you know, if you are soon angry, then, you know, you are living your life quite foolishly. Proverbs 14 verse 17. But God, when He saved us, He gave us that power to overcome sin. You know, families are falling apart like 10 pins in society. Divorces are on the rise. 30% in Singapore, 50% in America. And many of the European nations, 70-80%. How is it that men and women just cannot live together? When they are not happy with one another, they would call it quits. Well, the Christian family is different. But why is it that you see in so many Christian families breaking up? What's the trouble? Well, because we have not spent time to live by the grace of God, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We have not chosen to live soberly, but we have chosen to live wantonly, not righteously, honestly before God. The character of God is not lived out in our lives. But once God saved us, then we ought to be transformed. We ought to be spending time to cultivate our lives. And you know, the word teaching us to deny, the word denying there is in the middle voice. What it means is that the subject is doing the action upon himself. We are to deny worldly lust and ungodliness in our own lives. You know, nobody can see when we sin. But we check our own hearts. And God gives us that power, that will, that purpose in our life to live a holy life. Because we know the filth of sin. We know that every time you blow up, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a children, whether it's your colleague, you find that, you know, there is a consequence after that. And so the Lord tells us that we are to live our present life different from the world. Right? At the end of verse 14, it says, zealous of good works. So we live a life that is pleasing, holy, just in the sight of God, and also zealous of good works. We do good because God gave us that power to do good in our lives. And that power that God gives to us to do good, we are able to do so consistently, you know, not just conveniently. If it's convenient, okay, fine, we'll do it along the way. Right? But consistently, even if it's not convenient, we would do good. And so the Lord tells us to evaluate our lives as we come for this camp. And it begins with salvation. It begins with redemption, that we are a people of hope, and how God has given to us a past, a troublous past, as you may say. But today, God has brought us presently to this time. And God wants us, you know, to live a life that is fitting as a people of hope, as a peculiar people, as God's treasure. That we are to reflect the glory of God. We are to reflect the great laws of God by the way we live. And then the future, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That brings us to the theme of our camp. It all begins with redemption. When you are saved, then God has a purpose for your life. God has a mission for your life. And as we would study the next messages, God wants us to understand the world that we are living in, the recurrence. The Lord wants us to understand that, you know, it's not business as usual forever. But a judgment is going to come soon. And let us be careful. Rapture, reward, return, reign, resolve. The Lord wants us to understand that there is a sequence of events that is coming in life, in the future, and that He wants us as His people to be aligned with His plan for the future. It's a glorious plan in the service of God. And we begin in this simple way in a local church, coming together, serving one another, and coming to camp. It's a foretaste of heaven, as we have said. We'll spend 4 days and three nights together, right? By the good service of the staff of this hotel, this resort, we don't have to do anything, right? All our physical needs are taken care of, as it were. This would be live in heaven, you know, where God would do all these things, but, you know, 1,000 times more beautiful, 1,000 times better. God wants us to understand and put our perspective right. May He help us to prepare ourselves for the future to come. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for gathering us for this first night of messages. O God, may Thy Spirit come and illumine us and help us to understand past, present, and future. Help us to have a perspective of where we stand in Thy timetable of redemption. And help us, Lord, to know what we ought to do. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.